On Erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara learns out from Sukkim that there's a mitzvah to eat. Rabbi Akiva has a tshuva where he discusses, let's say a woman doesn't feel well, that she would prefer not to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Is this considered a mitzvah says that Shazman Grama that women are exempt from? Or should we assume that somehow it's connected with the fast on Yom Kippur? The Gemara says whoever eats on Erev Yom Kippur is considered as if he fasted both on Chi Vasiri. He says, since women are mechuyev to fast on Yom Kippur, maybe they're mechuyev to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbi Gevega writes, he's not sure. Because the Mishnah in Hilchas Nedarim is not sure about this whole drasha that the Gemara learned out from the Pasuk. Was it a bona fide drasha there, right? Or is it only an asmachta midrabbanan? It's not that clear. In the Sefer Tnuas HaMusar, in the set of Tnuas HaMusar, they quote that Rabbi Zal Salanta's practice would be he would suck on an all day long taffy on Erev Yom Kippur. He thought there's a mitzvah to eat all day long on Erev Yom Kippur. When someone mentioned it to Rabbi Soloveitchik, he thought that that was disgusting. He didn't think that that was what the Gemara meant. So the Gemara means you should have a bekavadik suda. The meaning is that you have fleishiks in the morning on Erev Yom Kippur, then you have fleishiks again by the suda hamapsekes, a bekavadik meal. Then the Rosh in the end of Yuma quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, who says that one should go to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur and recite the bracha shekadoshana b'tzosu utzmano ala tfila. What is that all about? So the Rosh understood that this is an application of the din of chai bat matar atzma b'rega. The Gemara learns that from the pasuk of v'nivlosim loisi go, that whoever touches a nevela of an animal, behema b'chaya, it's metame b'mago b'masa. Let's say I go to the A&P and I pick up a package of nevela meat and I put it down. There's no maga because it's wrapped up, but it's masa. If I pick it up, it's metame meat. So the pasuk says bin avlosim nosigo. You're not allowed to be metame yourself. The Gemara says, how can it be? Even kohanim are only forbidden from tumas meis. A coin is permitted to be metami to tumas nevela. How can it say bin avlosim losigo? No one's allowed to touch. So Gemara says it goes beregel on shoulder shvigolim. Chai bottom tairatzma beregel. So the Poshib Shah, the Shagasari has a tshuva. Poshib Shah, chai bottom tairatzma beregel, because it's a chiv al yola regel. You have to visit the Azara. If you're going to be tummy, you won't be allowed to enter the Azara. But that doesn't apply to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. There's no chiv al yola regel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And it doesn't apply to Zmanazeh, because we're all tummy mes anyway. You can't enter the Azara now. Can't enter the Arabs, won't let you enter the Azar. There's nothing to discuss. But the Rosh understood that that was pshat in the Rav Sadia Gaon. So the Rosh understood that it's lav dafke Yom Kippur, that he meant Shalosh Golem, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. Well, it's a different pshat, not because of Aliyah Larego. That's what Rabbi Yosef Engel writes in his Gil Yoni HaShas. Apparently the Rosh understood the Rav Sadia Gaon as implying that in order to experience in a deeper way the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Tov, a person has to be Tohar. What about Shabbos also? You have to go to Erev Shabbos, you have to go to the Mikveh. So a lot of Achrayim say no, this idea is only Yom Tov. Kedusha Shabbos is so powerful, it'll have a good effect on the person even if he didn't go to mikveh. But Yom Tov is not as strong as Shabbos, so that's why Chayvonim Tarat Smabrag, they have to go to the mikveh to be able to absorb in a deeper way the Kedusha Sayyam of Yom Tov. But it's highly questionable whether that's Pshatim Rav Sadia Gaon. He only said it on Yom Kippur, that you say, but he didn't say in a regular Yom Tov. So that's why others learn pshat, that Rav Sadia Gaon, or Hashulchan, I think, learns like this. Rav Soloveitchik also once suggested like that. And the one who wrote the the one who wrote the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rav Sadia Gaon, also writes like this. There was a Balabas in Europe, Rabbi Yochanan Pella. He invented a Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon wrote a piyut that he recited on Shavuos. He used to have many, especially by Svardim, but by Ashkenazim also, they would say piyutim on Shavuos, where they would rattle off all the Taryag mitzvahs. It would take forever. A whole list of all the mitzvahs sesei, a whole list of all the mitzvahs lo sesei. Rabbi Soloveitchik said he remembers as a child, they would say the mitzvahs sesei on the first day Shavuos and the mitzvahs lo sesei on the second day, because they didn't want to rattle off the whole thing in one day. It would take forever. So it took half of forever. So they said half of the sefer mitzvahs. So many Paitonim wrote Azharis, it's called Azharis, a listing of all of the mitzvahs. Rabbi Sadia Gaon wrote a poem. And here and there it's pretty unclear what mitzvah he's driving at. So this businessman, the whole poem is in Gadson, three, four pages long. And this Rabbi Yochanan Pella took each line in the poem, and he has 25 pages to explain what each line is talking about. And he develops a whole sheet of what Rav Sadia Gaon's opinion is, what belongs in the minyan and mitzvah, doesn't belong in the minyan and mitzvahs. So he also says pshat that Rav Sadia Gaon only meant on Erev Yom Kippur, he didn't mean chayvodim taratzma v'regel. Erev Yom Kippur, based on the pasuk lefnei Hashem titoru, just like the Ramban learns that there's a mitzvah in the Torah to recite vidui on Erev Yom Kippur as right immediately before you accept the Kedushas Hayom, lefnei Hashem, before entering into Yom Kippurim Titoru, one should purify themselves by reciting vidui. So Rav Sadia Gaon understood, lefnei Hashem, before you enter into Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur Titoru, one should go to the mikveh. If you say like that, that it's a, Rav Sadia Gaon is driving at this, it's a mitzvah min haTorah, then it has to be a kosher mikveh. It's usually assumed that leaving out of Sadia, usually assumed differently, because the Gemara says that Ezra made 10 takanas. One of the takanas was that a balkeri, or a woman who's a poleta shechvazera, married woman that's poleta shechvazera, is not permitted to daven and not permitted to learn. So this takana was going on for years. And then in the days of the Tanoim, they repealed the Takona with respect to learning. The Tanoim said, Dibre Torah not mekabel tuma. Halo kol devar ka'eshen yum Hashem, ha'eshen ene mekabel tuma. Af Dibre Torah not mekabel tuma. So they abolished the need for going to mikveh in order to learn Torah. You're allowed to learn Torah without going to mikveh. So it's unclear in the Gemara, what about the other half of the Takona? What about the Takana Menegeh to davening? Also, once they abolished the Takana Ezra with respect to learning, so maybe the whole Takana falls apart, so even for davening or not. So that's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Raban. So the Rambam writes, the whole Takana falls apart, but he writes in the Mishnah Torah, Bnei Shalom can testify me that I always go to mikveh before I daven. That's what he writes in the Mishnah Torah. But he says, so the question is, so the Kesem Mishnah asks, why? But if the Rambam holds the whole Takana fell apart, once the layer the Chachamim were mevatlet, so why would the Midas Chassidus to go to mikveh before he davens? So the Kesem Mishnah explains the Takana fell apart because it was a Takana, it was like a gzeira. Shein rei batzi b'yichadam lamed bo, it was too difficult to observe. But really, it was a proper Takana. So that's why the Rambam felt that as a Midas Chassidus, you should observe it. Even though it fell apart because it was in Yichalim Lamed Ba. And the Ravid disagrees with the Rama. We don't have a Hasagas HaRavid there. We have the Rosh quotes that the Ravid was of the opinion. Maybe it's a different Ravid. Maybe it's the famous Ravid. It's unclear. There were different Ravids. The Rosh and Brachas quotes that the Ravid was of the opinion that the Takana is still the talk for with respect to davening of Balkari. Is not allowed to daven. The Tanoim were only Mekala, Balkari is permitted to learn. Alakot the very creation, Yom Hashem, Aish, and Makabal Tumma, the return, not Makabal Tumma. It's only Menegeah to learning, but not Menegeah to davening. For davening, you have to go to Mikvah. So how do we paskin? So the Rabbeinu Tam had a Talmud. Rabbeinu Tam's name was Yaakov, Rashi's grandson Yaakov. And because it says Yaakov Ish Tam, Yosheva Holim, so that's why they called him Rabbeinu Tam. So he had Talmidim with the name Yaakov. So one of his Talmidim is also known as Rabbeinu Tam. He authored a little sefer that's called Shabbos Tshuvos Men HaShemayim. So he used to, at night, he used to have dreams of the angels. And he would, in his dream, he would ask the angel Shilas, what's the din? In this case, what's the din? He would ask about all the famous machloikis and Tfilin the Rabbeinu Tam, Tfilin the Rashi. So he asked them about this also. You have to go to mikveh before you daven or not. So the angels, most of the time, gave a non-committal answer in the dreams. They didn't want to take a stand on anything. So as far as this is concerned, so they recommend maybe in Aseres Meitshuva you should be machmer, and Aseres Meitshuva we're machmer on things that usually all year long be nekel on paspalta. So maybe you should go to mikveh. So that's usually assumed that people go to mikveh, even people that don't go to mikveh all year long, but on their Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur, they go to mikveh because of Takana Sezra. If it's because of Takana Sezra, because we're machmer for the Rabbid's opinion, then it doesn't have to be a kosher mikveh, because the Gemara says that for the Takana Balkeri, he's not allowed to learn, he's not allowed to daven. Maim Shuvim is also acceptable. So if that's what it's all about, so you can go to a men's mikveh. Chassidish Rabbi Shtipel has a mikveh for men. That's not a kosher mikveh meikar din. But according to Rav Sadia Goyen, if Rav Sadia Goyen has a special din lefnei Hashem to Torah, then it has to be a kosher mikveh min haTorah. It can't be just a men's mikveh. That's a shaila. What's the story with going to mikveh on Erev Yom Kippur? We mentioned before that the pasuk says, you fast on Tisha L'Chodesh. We don't fast on Tisha L'Chodesh. So the Gemara says one who eats on Erev Yom Kippur is considered as if he fasted both days, as if he fasted the ninth and the tenth. But the Gemara has another interpretation in that pasuk. Menisim esnaf shesech mitisha l'chodesh ba'erev means late in the afternoon you should be moseh mechol l'chodesh, and that's the makor for the institution of masif mechol l'chodesh. All this whole the makor for masif mechol l'chodesh is from the halacha Moshe Mesina of Esenetias. Esenetias is a din in Shemitah that not only when Shemitah is observed, we assume today Shemitah is only with the Rabbanah because we know it's not going to lead up to Yovel. So that's a machlekes satanoim in the Sifra, in the beginning of Parshas Bahar. It says every 7th year you observe Shemitah, and after 49 years, after 7 Shemitahs, then you observe Yovel. So there's a machlekes satanoim in the Sifra. What if you know in advance that the observance of the Shemitahs will not lead up to Yovel because you're lacking kol yoshvecha aleha? Pasuk says, across from Dry Baritz Lachol Yoshveva. That's the Pasuk on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. I used to live in Philadelphia, and we lived not far from Independence Hall. And that was one of the Mekomos HaKadoshim that we used to go visit on Shabbos. When we went for a walk, we would visit Dolly Madison's home and Betsy Ross's home in Independence Hall and so on. So the Liberty Bell was commissioned to be made in Europe by the Jewish community of Pennsylvania. They were so happy that there was finally a country in the world where there's freedom of religion. They allow you to observe the Jewish. They don't force you to be Islam. They don't force you to be a Christian. So, and then it cracked on the way, on the boat coming from Europe to America, the bell cracked. So that's that pasuk across from Drabas L'chol Yoshveh. Those last two words L'chol Yoshveh. The Gemara and the Berchan understands it to mean Mizman Shekol Yoshveh Aleha. When all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, when you don't have Kol Yoshveh Aleha, then one doesn't Yovel doesn't apply in the Torah. We don't even observe them in the Rabbanan Torah. We just count every 7th year of Shemitah. We don't even have the 50th year as a blank year, even if not observing Yovel. We don't even count it as a blank year. So that's so we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yudah Nasi, who disagrees with the other Tanaim, that if you know in advance that the Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, so then the whole observance of Shemitah is only with the Rabbanan. So when Shemitah was Noeg Ben HaTorah, so there was a din of Masif and Mechol Al HaKodesh, you're not allowed to plant a couple of months before the Shemitah year begins. except if it's esenetius. The Gemara says then esenetius, you're allowed to do avodas hakarka. So that's a detail within the din of Tosefes Shviyas. Masif Mecholal HaKodesh doesn't apply to the case of esenetius. That's all part of halacha Moshe Messina. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes. What is the source for Masif Mecholal HaKodesh? The Rambam paskens that Masif Mecholal HaKodesh only applies to Yom Kippur, Lefanecha, Leachrecha, doesn't apply to Shabbos, and doesn't apply to Yamim Tovim. The Stechemet is an encyclopedia that was written around 100 years ago, and he quotes a lot. So he quotes different opinions regarding the Rambam's view. So some Achrayim understood that the Rambam means to say that you're not mechuyev min haTorah to be moisim mecholal haKodesh on Shabbos and Yom Tov, only Yom Kippur. But if you are moisim, then it's chal min haTorah. Others say no, you're mechuyev min derabbanan to be moisim. Others say you're not mechuyev min derabbanan, but it's chal min derabbanan. And the Pashim Pshat is that it's zero. The Rambam doesn't hold it all from Masif Mecholal, only Yom Kippur, that's all. Only by Yom Kippur and by Shemitah, Tosef Shemitah. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omrim, that there's a mitzvah lahas Mecholal HaKadosh on Shabbos. Why do he write Yesh Omrim? Because he knows the Rambam doesn't agree, so that's why he wrote Yesh Omrim. But he means that that's the din. That's what we usually assume, that's the proper din. How much do you have to be moisim mecholal hakodesh? You have to be moisim before shkia. We assume that right after shkia is bein hashmashos. That's the Vilna Gaon and the Baal HaTanya, both machma like that opinion. That right after the shkia is already begins bein hashmashos. Bein hashmashos sofik yom sofik laila. So you're not yotzei tosefes if you observe isim halacha during bein hashmashos. It means you have to be moisim mecholal hakodesh before bein hashmashos begin. How much time? So Rav Soloveitchik said that when he grew up in Europe, the minig was that the women would bench licht 30 minutes before Shkia on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and on Erev Yom Kippur, they would bench licht 60 minutes before, a whole hour before. The 30 minutes, that comes from the Rabbeinu Peretz and Beitz on Daf Lamed. Tosis writes, from the Gemara it would appear that there's a minimum amount of time that you have to be Moisa Mechol al HaKodesh, but they can't figure out how much time it is. And the Rabbeinu Peretz on that daf that for many years was a manuscript and Achronim coded it and now they printed it so everybody has it. So Rabbeinu Peretz writes, he thinks that it's a half an hour. Masif Mechol HaKadosh is 30 minutes. Rav Soloveitchik as a child was always interested in all the Minhagim, all the Dinim, all the Minhagim. So he asked, why is it 60 minutes on Yom Kippur? How come they're Masif Mechol HaKadosh? An hour. So they told him 30 minutes for Tosefes for Malach and 30 minutes for Tosefes for Inuyim. He says that to him that didn't make any sense. It's one Kedusha Sayyim. That's Mechayev both in Malach and Inuyim. He didn't understand. But he said that was the minik, that there would be Moshe Mechol al HaKodesh on Erev Yom Kippur a full hour. On Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, there would only be Moshe 30 minutes. And on Erev Yom Kippur, there would be Moshe an hour. No, if one can be moisif half an hour and every Shabbos, that's givaldic. We assume once you mekabel Shabbos, then you can't daven tefilas mincha, you can't daven tefilas chol. So if you want to be moisif 30 minutes before the shkia on every Erev Shabbos, every Erev Yom Tov, then you got to see to it that you daven mincha before that. So Erev Yom Kippur is a special day, special mitzvah sachila. Maybe it's only with the Rabbanan. And Rav Sadigan seems to hold that you have to go to Mikveh min haTorah. That's Poshim Pshat and Rav Sadigan. And you have the Ramban holds that you have to say Vidui on Erev Yom Kippur Lifnei Hashem Titor. You have to say Vidui before the day ends. When we start the davening, the Gemara says that the Gemara quotes it, the Chachamim recommended that one should recite Vidui after he damas mincha before the Suda HaMafsekes. Shemiyere dvar kalkola b'suda. What does it mean? His wife will ask him, please take down the garbage and please do this and please do that. And then by the time he comes to Shul, it'll be already Shkia time. He won't have a chance to say the Vidui. So they made a takana. You should say the vidui after mincha. But the Ramban says the more correct is if a dvar takola didn't come up, if the person should bench early on Erev Yom Kippur and he should have a chance to, he should repeat Vidya again before he's Mekabel Kedusha Sayyam, Lefnei Hashem Titor, right before he's Mekabel Kedusha Sayyam, Tasef Es Yom Kippur. On Leil Yom Kippur, we start before Kol Nidre, we start it means that all year long, if they put someone in Cherem, a Nidui, or Shamta, or something like that, so they would often include that you're not allowed to let him daven in Shul. And the people are not allowed to daven when he's there in Shul. They do that now sometimes when a man does want to give his wife a get. So they say they're not gonna let him daven in Shul. You want to daven in Shul, go to a different city. Go to a different shul. We're not going to let you daven here, and that though often does the trick, that the husband will realize how stupid he is, and he'll give the get. So on Erev Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, "Kol Tainus Siba Sheimo Mitposhi Yisrael Ain a Tainus Siba." Tainus Siba is only has to be a Tainus of the Tzibur. In Yiddish, they say the word Tzibur is a Rosh Tevis Tzadik and Beinanim and Rishoin Tzadik Beis Resh. They have to have Rishoin. If you're not mitzar of the Rishoyim, then it's not really a Tainasib. You have to have everybody has to be included. So that's why they were matter on Erev Yom Kippur. They're matter to daven with the Avar Yonim, who all year long we don't allow them to daven in Shul. And Erev Yom Kippur we allow them to daven in Shul. The Gemara says that the Ketores had Chelbana. Ketores had 11 sonim on him. The Gemara learns that from the Pasuk. Has to have 11 sonim on him. And one of them is Chelban. A Chelban has a bad Reach. So why do you include it in the sonim on him? The Ketores is supposed to have a nice Reach. The other 10 sonim on him have such a powerful Reach that you don't smell the Reach Ra of the Chelban. But what do you need it for if it has a bad Reach? So the Gemara says to teach you this lesson, that you have to be a Mitzar of the Rishoyim sometimes. So the Marsha has a famous comment there. That's why you need 11 Salman, because the Rosh is not Mitzar of the Dominion. Sometimes. If they put him a Mecher, it's not Mitzar of the Dominion. Then we recite Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is a very old minig that you introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre. The old Nisuch used to be that it's a Torah Sendorm. Why do we introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre? So it's in many of the Chassidish Machzorim, we have a passage on the Zohar which explains that just like the Gemara has a din, when the husband is Mefer Nidre Ishto, or the father's mefer nidre bito, so the Gemara says, hafor is only breaks the net of mikaval habot, it's not oikar net of meikor. But if you have a hataras chacham, heta chacham, the chacham paskin that the neder is mutter because it was a tois in the first place. If it's a tois, chacham oikar net of meikor, comes out there never was a neder in the first place. Even if, let's say, a person took a neder not to eat potato chips, and he went ahead and he ate potato chips with hasro. And he said, I don't care, I'm going to eat it. Give me the Malkus, I don't care. And then he goes and he's Mata Neder. So the Gemara says he doesn't get Malkus. If a girl took a Neder and she violated, she ate the cookies, and then the father's made for the Neder, that doesn't undo the Avera. She's going to get the Malkus. How far is only made from the Kanal Abba, the Gemara says. But the Hataras Chacham is Oikra Neder Meikor. So in the Zohar it says that just like Hataras and Dharma Zohar Nedim Eikar, so too if a person does Tshuva, the Avera said he did Zdonas Asan Lo Kishkogas. Sometimes if he really did Tshuva Me'avah, Zdonas Asan Lo Kishkogas, the Avera said he did Bemezit, Aneka Mila Mafreya. So it's usually assumed that that's the reason why we introduce Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre, Hataras and Dharma L'Shoavar, the way it always was assumed from the days of the Goyim. We want to indicate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be oikar all of the averus meikara, just like the Bezin Shal Shloisha is paskening all the Nedarim Arbitars. Rav Soloveitchik gave another suggestion, perhaps why, that the uniqueness of Yom Kippur is that we are in the presence of the Shechina. when Yom Kippur is over, so we blow shofar. So Tosfos in different Masechtos has three different suggestions what the minig, it's not a din, it's a minig, what the minig is all about, that you blow shofar on Matzoh Yom Kippur. So one explanation that Tosfos quotes is that in Yom Kippur shel Yovel, you have to blow shofar the same as on Rosh Hashanah. Same thing, Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, it all works, everything the same. And we've lost the cheshbon, which year is Yovel. So since we don't know, so we blow shofar every Yom, the end of every Yom Kippur, Zecher le Yom Kippur shel Yovel. That's one explanation. That's Rav Soloveitchik's practice, was that he would blow, after Yom Kippur was over, he would blow Tashrat, Tashat, Tarat, on the assumption that it's Zecher le Yom Kippur shel Yovel. Tosfos gives another two suggestions what the minig is all about. So another suggestion is that on the occasion of Maamad Har Sinai, so no one was permitted to go up on Har Sinai. They were chayv misa if they would go on Har Sinai. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, "B'mshech b'kemen ha'yevel, heima yala bahar." When they hear that Maamad Har Sinai is all finished, then they hear the blast of the shofar. That's a similar siluk chachina. And then no longer will be any Hashuas Hashchina, then everyone is allowed to climb up on Har Sinai. So when Yom Kippur is over, we blow shofar to indicate a similar Siluk Shechina, that on Yom Kippur the Shechina was with us. That's how the Tahara was accomplished. You rub, if a beged is dirty, and you want to wash it, so you use detergent and water, and you rub, and you get the stain out. So the Nishamas are full of stains. That's what we say in all the slichas. We have ksamim, we have stains on our souls, and the detergent that you use is to rub up against the shechina, and that'll purify us. So that's there's one minig that we have. We have another minig that when Yom Kippur is over, we say Shemus. You say Shema Yisrael, you say Baruch Shem, and you say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times. So why do you say seven times? So Tosfos says, because the Gemara says in the second parak in Chagiga that there are seven Rikiyim, the seven heavens, and the Shechina on Yom Kippur was on earth with us. Bizman Shabbos Migdash Oikam, the Shechina was showing in the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's no Beis HaMikdash, so the Shechina is in heaven. But on Yom Kippur, the Shechina is down with us. So when Yom Kippur is up, it goes back to the first heaven, to the second heaven, to the third heaven. So we are wishing the Shechina farewell as it goes to the first, second, and finally, ultimately, to the seventh heaven. That's why we say Hashem Hu Elokim seven times. So we assume that the Hashuas HaShechina, that's what Yom Kippur is all about. The Hashuas HaShechina is with us, and that's what accomplishes the Mechilas Havainas. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. Ashech Mi'Yisrael, Lifnei Mi'atam Etarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei Hashem Tetoru. So that's how we get to Tahara. So Rav Soloveitchik suggests that maybe that's why you make a yeshiva's bezin, because the Gemara has an idea based on the psukim of the kib nitzah badas kel. Whenever you have a bezin, it's very hard to judge another human being, whether he's chayv mammon, whether he's chayv misa, whether he's chayv malkus, is he really a rasha, is he a tzaddik? It's hard to judge other people. We have no choice, we have to judge. So the pasuk says, the kib nitzah badas kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you have an honest bezin, which is not so easy to find these days, but if you have an honest bezin, not a crooked bezin, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Elokim Nitzav Adaskel, he'll be there to help them out, that they should not make a mistake in paskeni. So in order to be mekabel tosefes Yom Kippurim, we want to bring the Shechina down. That's the whole essence of Yom Kippur, that we have a Hashuas HaShechina. How can we force the Shechina to come down earlier than otherwise? Make a bezin. So what are you going to make a bezin? Two people are fighting over a will, over a Yerusha, over millions of dollars, and they're going to be screaming at each other. So that's not a nice thing to do. So you make a bezin on Hataras and Dorm, and nobody's angry at anybody else. And that way we force the Shechina to come down. That's Rav Soloveitchik gave such a suggestion. Maybe that's the reason why they introduced Yom Kippur. We call Nidrei HaTorah Nedarim, to bring the Shekhinah, to force the Shekhinah to come down. And that's like Yom Kippur, that you have a special Hashuas HaShekhinah. But this is quotes that the Rabbi Natan changed the text of the Kol Nidre. Instead of being Matanet of Yom Kippurim Shavat, Yom Kippurim Hazeh, he changed it that it's a Mesiris Maidor, based on the Gemara Nedarim. The Gemara says one who wants to see to it that his Nedarim should not be binding in the course of the year should get up at Berei Shato in the beginning of the year. It doesn't necessarily mean Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Natan says that it means Yom Kippur. You get up in the beginning of the year on Yom Kippur, you make a declaration. Any Nedarim that will take me Yom Kippur, Yom Kippur, Habo Aleinu L'Toivo. Till next Yom Kippur, we declare now that we don't want them all to be null and void. And the Gemara says that there is such a thing that's called Mesiris Maidon. Let's say they're going to force me to give a get to my wife. They threaten they're going to kill me if I don't give a get. And I don't want to give a get to my wife. One of these gangsters wants to marry my wife, so he's threatening to kill me. So I tell people, the guy's going to force me tomorrow to give a get. If you look carefully, you'll see he's going to stick his hand in his pocket. And if you look carefully, you see he has a gun in his pocket. He's not going to walk with the gun openly, but I don't want to give a get. So I'm declaring today that the get they're going to force me to give tomorrow should be null and void. I don't want it. Or he's going to force me to sell my house. And I'm not interested in selling my house. He's going to give me the right price, but I don't want to sell my house. So that's called Mesiris Maidor. Mesiris Maidor in advance, and the Mechira is not Chal, provided that the Eidim saw the next day it looked like he was being coerced into it. It looked like the guy, it looks like the fellow did have a gun in his pocket. But if the Eidim, the Maidor is not meaningful, if he claims that they're threatening to kill me, then the next day the Eidim don't see any threatening. They don't see any gun. It seems that everybody's lovey-dovey and friendly. Then the Mesiris Maidor doesn't help. So that's what the Rabbi Natan learns in this Gemara, that you should get up Berei Shata in the beginning of the year. On Yom Kippur is also Tchilas Hashanah. And you should make a declaration that any Nedarim Meshuas that I take in the course of the year should be null and void. You don't want them to be bind. So that's how Rabbi Natan changed the Nusach. Instead of being Hataras and Darim L'Sho'ovar, should be a Mesiris Maidor L'Habo. The Chayyadam recommends you should say both, the old Nusach and the new Nusach. So that's what they do in the Yeshiva. They say, we want Hataras and Darim on the Darim Yituk, Nehem Shava, Yom Kippurim Hazeh, and we're making a declaration that then in the Darim Yituk, Nehem Kippurim Zeh, Yom Kippur, Habo, Aleinu L'Toyv, until next Yom Kippur, should all be null and void. So that's the meaning in the Yeshiva. They say the Nusach of the Chayyadam. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Mem, has a discussion whether you say Sheach Yonah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. When you say Kiddush on Rosh Hashanah, do you say Sheach Yonah? The Gemara says, nobody remembers what did we do last year. Do we say Sheach Yonah or not? The Gemara says, yeah, of course we said Sheach Yonah last year. The Gemara wants to know whether Sheach Yonah on Rosh Hashanah is only a Rishus, because Sheach Yonah on a Pri Chodesh is only a Rishus. So maybe Sheach Yonah, Rosh Hashanah is only Rishus, and maybe it's a Chayva. So if the Gemara would appear Sheach Yonah on Sholosh Regalim is a Chayva, the Suffolk only was on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara comes to the Maskana that Sheach Yonah was a Chayva, even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What's exactly the Suffolk in the Gemara? So one of the Rishonim has over there, they have a separate Sefer. Aben Yodis and Milunel has a Sefer on Masechas Erev. So I think he's the one who says that the Shaila was whether there's a Chiyav Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On Sholosh Regalim, you have a Pasuk V'Samachta B'Chagecha by Sukkis. And we have a Hekish, all the Sholosh Regalim, Ahuk Shua Hadodi. So all three are Mitayvim, Pesel Shavu Sukkis, have a Mitzvah of Simcha. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Sheach Yonah is sort of a Birchas HaMitzvah on the Mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. So that was a shaila. Is there a chiyuv simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Or is it, no, the Sheach Yonah was only a rishus like a pri chodosh. We're a pri chodosh. Why do you say Sheach Yonah? The person is so excited over the spinach. Let's say he doesn't like spinach. His mother forces him to eat the spinach. He doesn't like the spinach. He says Sheach Yonah anyway. Sheach Yonah over the fruit or the new vegetable, it's not because, even if you're allergic to it, And even if you can't afford it, Medina the Gemara says Shachyana, when you see they're selling it in the store, even if you're not going to be able to buy it. What is Shachyana all about? So that Magen Avraham makes him a Shachyana is on Hagos Hazman. We realize that we have survived another season. V'haraya, that they have the new spinach, they have the watermelon. All year long they don't sell watermelon in stores. By us, they sell everything all year long. They get it from a different part of the world. So by us, we hardly say Shachyana. They sell apples all year long, they sell pears, they sell tangerines, they sell oranges. They just get it from a different country, a different continent. So you don't really notice that that you survived another season, because the oranges were available, the oranges and the apples were available all year long. But whenever you notice that you survived till the raspberry season or the cherry picking season, so then you say Shachyana Nahagos Hazman. So that's what the Gemara was Mesupi, Shachyana Rosh Hashanah. They always said Shachyana and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The only Shaila is it a Rishus like Pri Chodosh? It's a Shachyana Nahagos Hazman, or is it a Shachyana because of the Chiyuv of Simchas Yontif? The Gemara comes to the Maskana Daf Mem on the base. That she mechuyif to say Shachyana Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, same as Sholosh Vigom. So Pashta says it, that's what it means, that there is a Chiyuv Simcha. Yeah, that's the Shagasai talks about that. Is there a Chiyuv Simcha Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Soloveitchik used to quote the Mishnah Moikot, and the din is that Rabbi Blau spoke about this on Shabbos Shuvah a little bit. The Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to quote, there's a din that if one is in the middle of Shiva, and then it comes Yantav, so Yantav cancels the rest of Shiva. One in the middle of Shloshim, so Yantav cancels the rest of Shloshim. Why only Yantav cancels? Why doesn't Shabbos cancel? So Taisus explains from the Yerushalmi that Yantav has a chi of Simcha, and Abelis and Simcha is a tarte de sasre. You can't observe both. The Simchas Yontav is an Esed Derabim, and the Avelis is only an Esed Yochid. So the Esed Derabim takes precedence over the Esed Yochid. So that's why cancel Shiva, that's why cancel Shloshim. So there's a Machloike Satanaim and a Mishnah, and Masechus Maikot and Perikei L'Megalchim, whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancel Avelis or not. So there we know, we Paskin that does cancel Avelis. But that doesn't necessarily prove the point, because when it comes to Avelis, we say halachic divan dekel ba'oval. Whenever there's a suffix, you always go to kula. And even if there's a machlokes satanoim, we say, and even if the minority opinion is lahakel, so we say a suffix koldehu, you go to kula. So from the fact that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur cancels Avelis, maybe it's because halachic divan dekel ba'oval. Maybe that's why. But here the Gemara has to shout, do you say Shachyanu? You don't say Lekula, you don't say Shachyanu. If there's a Safik Brachas, you don't say the Brachas. Gemara comes to the conclusion, yes, you do say Shachyanu, that there is Vaday a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The Gemara points out that on Yom Kippur, how do you say Shachyanu? You're not saying Kiddush. Do you say Shachyanu over a cup of wine? So the Gemara says, what will you gain? A Bracha Lakos. You make a toast, a bracha lakos, a toast. So what the Gemara says, it only enhances the chashivas of the bracha if someone's going to drink the wine. But it's Yom Kippur already. You can't say Shachyanu. If you're going to say Shachyanu on Erev Yom Kippur, then by definition, you're mekabel Yom Kippur. A lot of women recite Shachyanu when they benchlich. So when they benchlich on Erev Yom Kippur, they say Shachyanu. They can make a tanai. Let's say they're going to bench licht on Erev Shabbos. So there's a machloikis, the halachas gedolos, the bahagas of the opinion, based on his reading of that Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem, that once you light an Erev Shabbos, say the bracha, lighting an Erev Shabbos, it becomes Shabbos bal korcho for the one who lights the candles and for the whole family. It becomes Shabbos for the whole family. So we don't really paskin like the bahag. But with machmir for the woman, for the bnei bayis, we assume that it doesn't become Shabbos, even though the yotze with the halakas on eris. We only choshish for the bahag, for the person who lit the candles himself, herself. So when women are madlik neris, so we assume that they're mekabel Shabbos. If there's a big shas hatrak, then we allow them to violate the shita's bahag, and they have in mind that they're not mekabel Shabbos. But if you're going to say, you're going to bench Licht for Yantiv, you're going to say Shech Yano, that everybody agrees. You can only say Shech Yano on Yantiv. So if you said Shech Yano, you're Mekabel Yantiv. So then the woman, Erev Yom Kippur, she lights candles, she says Shech Yano, and then she drives to Shul. Not allowed to. Once you said Shech Yano, it's Kabbalah's Tosefes Yantiv, Kabbalah's Yom Kippur. Bal Korchai, otherwise the Shech Yano would be a Bracha Levatolim. That's why Rabbi Yankiv Emden said, in general, that's not right, that the women have the practice. Rabbi Kivegir refers you to, and Shulchan Aruch refers you to this Chulas Rabbi Yankiv Emden. That is not right that the women recite Shech Yano when they bench Licht on Erev Yontif, because the men can also say Shech Yano in Shul, like we do on Leil Yom Kippur, and we don't say Shech Yano. We want to enhance the significance of the Bracham Shech Yano, so we save it till the end of the Kiddush, and we say, we make it into a Bracha Lakos. So the women are just, they want to show they can say Shech Yano. They don't want to rely on the husbands. But they're spining, they're cheating themselves. Because if they would wait to hear the Shech Yano ala kos, the bracha would be enhanced. They would have more chashiva. So it's not right. The women really shouldn't say Shech Yano when they bench lech. So the Gemara says, so what's going to be? You say Shech Yano over a cup of wine. On Leil Yom Kippur, who's going to drink the wine? Once you say Shech Yano, it becomes Yom Kippur. Gemara says, maybe give it to a child who's not yet bar mitzvah. Who the child is going to eat anyway. Gemara says it's a bad idea because the kid can grow up and he'll think that he won't remember that it was only when he was a cotton. He will remember incorrectly that the rabbi gave him the wine to drink on Leil Yom Kippur. So he may even drink the wine after his bar mitzvah. So that's not a good chinuch. So the Gemara says, therefore, on Leil Yom Kippur, you say Shech Yano, not Talakos. And the Gemara says the same is true on any Yontif. Whenever you say Shech Yano, Emra Afila Bashuk, you can recite Shech Yano on Yontif as you're walking in the street, but we usually save it till the end of the Kiddush to enhance the chashivas of the bracha. It should be a bracha lakos. And you take a sip of the wine. But on Yom Kippur, you don't take a sip. So that's the Shaila. What if Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday? What do you do with Havdalah? So some had the practice. They would say Havdalah over a cup of wine and give the wine to a child to drink. A child is not fasting on Tisha B'Av. And others said no. The Gemara said that's not a good chinuch. And others said no. What do you mean? Not a good chinuch? That's every Leil Yom Kippur you're going to do that. How often does it happen that Tisha B'Av falls out on a Sunday? Every couple of years like that. But it doesn't happen every single year. So many Rishonim are of the opinion when Tisha B'Av falls out on Matzoi Shabbos, you say Havdalah Lakos and you give it to a child to drink. Our practice is we don't do that. Our practice is we wait to say Havdalah Lakos till Matzoi, till Sunday night, till Matzoi Tisha B'Av. Unless someone has to eat on Tisha B'Av, a person is a Chayil Shem B'Sakana, he has to eat on Tisha B'Av, so then he has to say Havdalah. So it's a different story. So that's the Shech Yano that we recite in Shul on Leil Yom Kippur. That's the same Shech Yano that we recite on Yontif, and it's a Chiyuv. On the common practice is that on Leil Yom Kippur we say a lot of Slichas. There is no Chazar Sashatz by Mar, we say a lot of Slichas. And by Ne'ila, in the Chazar Sashatz, we say a lot of Slichas. And all of the machzorim, here's the Birnbaum machzor, and all the machzorim, Professor Birnbaum taught in the Jewish Theological Seminary, the Conservative Seminary. He was once going on the train, and there was a woman on the train from Broyes, so he wanted to let the woman know who he is. So he says, my name is Professor Birnbaum. She said, nice to meet you. She never heard of him. So he said, do you know about my machzor? So she said, no, she uses the Broyer's machzor. She never heard of him. He felt so hurt that they never heard of him. Okay. But he taught in the seminary. So they don't have any slichas for Shachris and Musaf and Mincha. And the Orach HaShulchan complains that that's scandalous. In the days of the Gaonim, in the days of the Rishainim, in the early machzorim, they have tons of slichas that you say many times, Yud Gimel Midas, you say many times. Each one of the tefillahs, and the Aruch HaShulchan complains that the printers decided to save money, so they left out all the slichas by Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, and they charge you to save money for the machzor, missing 100 pages. So he says it's not right. So Rav Soloveitchik also introduced the slichas again. He took the slichas from the old machzorim. They had in the old machzorim for Yom Kippur. He picked out the easier ones. So that's what they do here in Yeshiva. They say slichas by shachris and musaf and mincha also, not just at night. In the Musaf Digesh Mon Esrei, the Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that the Chazan should recite the Seder HaAvodah. In the Oitzer HaGoinim on Maseches Yuma, they quote that there were communities where the practice was that they said the Seder HaAvodah. Gemara never says in Musaf. Gemara says the Chazan said the Seder HaAvodah in the Chazaras HaShat. So there were communities in the days of the Goinim that they said the Seder HaAvodah in Shachris, in Musaf, and in Mincha. All three. Takes forever. Well, they say the whole Seder Avodah takes a long time. So our meaning is we only say the Seder Avodah in Musaf. And the common meaning is that when a Chazan gets to that part, the Kohen Gadol, when he said the Shema Mefarash, HaKohen Avraham Ham the Mazar HaYikarim Kishah Yushamim Asa Shema Mefarash Yerzim Pei Kohen Gadol HaKohen Mishtach V'Mamodim Anof Ma'apenem Yami Baruch Shem Kohen Mechus Al Yeran Avod. The Gemara says that Aniya Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus Yeran Avod is based on the pasuk Ki Shem Hashem Ekra HaVegodol Elokeinu. When you pronounce the Shem HaMefarash, you have to give Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you give Shevach by kneeling on the floor. That's only in the Azor. HaKan Avam Omdim Azor. Those who are not Omdim Azor would say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus Yeran Avod, but they wouldn't kneel. The kneeling on the floor is only a kiyum in the Azor. So Rav Soloveitchik said that when he went to the university in Germany, it was the first time he ever saw that the women were kneeling on the floor. In Eastern Europe, the women never kneeled in the middle of Seder Avodah. And he was brought up in Eastern Europe, so he assumed that everything they did there in Lithuania was correct, and what they're doing in Germany is probably not correct. So he had to think, well, why don't we do this in Eastern Europe? So he realized the women were never in the Azor. Ishtachva is only in the Azar. Karabam Ham de Mazar. It's based on the Psukim Echumish. Ishtachva is only Akim in the Mikdash. He said the kneeling that we do in the middle of the Seder Avodah is a Zechel HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash, the women never kneeled because they were never in the Azar. Isha Bazar Menayin, the Gemara has a lotion. So he didn't think highly of that new meaning that they started in Germany and in America also. He didn't think it was right. In the Seder Avodah, it says that just like every day of the year, there were four payoses in order to determine which kohen has the right to do which Avodah. So they used to have a lottery. A payos is a lottery. So to on Yom Kippur, there were four payoses. So the Baal HaMor writes in his comments that this is clearly a mistake, because on Yom Kippur, everything was done by the Kohen Gadol. He did the whole Avodah, and there were no payoses. So the Ramban makes fun of the Baal HaMor. So he says, all the Paitonim made a mistake. That's what the Baal HaMor writes. All the Paitonim made a mistake. The only one who knows the truth is the Baal HaMor. How can it be? So he says, no, Baal HaMor is wrong. They didn't have the same four payoses that they had all year long, but they had four payoses on Yom Kippur also. All year long, there was a pious mishoichet, who's going to shech the tom shoshach, who's going to be zorik the dam, who's going to be moilach the dam. That was all done by the Kohen Gadol. But there were four avodas that they had payoses for. It's not the same four that they made a pious every day. So he says there was a pious for trumas adeshin, because trumas adeshin doesn't have to be done by yom. It's an avoda that's done by laylom. Every day you have to take off a little bit of ashes from the mizbeach. The ashes, they had logs, they had wooden logs that they would burn. So the wood turns into ashes. That's what kind of ash? The Trumas HaDeshen is supposed to be not the ashes from the logs, it's supposed to be the ashes from the flesh. When the meat is turned into ashes, it's a different kind of ash. So the Trumas HaDeshen is supposed to be from the Haktorah of the Karbonets. You take a little bit and you put it on the floor next to the Mizbeach, and a miracle would occur, and it would be Nivla in the ground. And then, once every couple of weeks, when there would be too many ashes on top of the Mizbeach, there would be a big heap of ashes, so they had to take all the ashes. Michutz l'shalosh machnas, it took everything out. But the daily mitzvah of Trumas HaDeshem is every day. They took Kamalai HaMachta, Rashi says. They took Kamalai HaMachta of ashes. The Rashash says he does not Rashi and Chumash and Rashi. And the Gemara always writes, they took Kamalai HaMachta of ashes. The Rashash says he does not. Where did Rashi get that from? Pashtus and the Gemara says you have to take a Kazayas of ashes. But that's what Rashi writes. They took Kamalai HaMachta every day and put it on the floor. So that was, since it's an Avodas Laila, Taisus in Yuma has 2 days, whether Trumas HaDeshem was done by the Kohen Gadol or not. So the Ramban thinks that that was an Avodas Laila, and that was the first of the four Payosos. And then he says, cleaning off the Mizbeach HaPnimi, HaTavas HaMenorah, HaTavas Mizbeach HaPnimi, he said, that's not an Avodas. HaTobas HaMizbech HaPnim is not an Avodah. It's just that it should be clean. So they had a pious on that. He tells you what the four payosas were. We assume that there were four payosas. Yeah. On Yom Kippur, there were 3 sets of korbanas that were brought every year on Yom Kippur. And if it's Yom Kippur, Shalhaliyas B'Shabbos, every couple of years is going to be a 4th set. Every day you bring 2 tmidim. Kevzah Chatas V'Aboy, Kevzah Kevzah Hasheni, Tasa Ben Ho'aboyim. So those are the 2 kvasim for the Tamash Rashach and Tamash Abin Abayim. And then you look on Parshas Pinchas, and there's a list of Musafim that you have to bring on Yom Kippur. And then you look on Parshas Achrei Mais, there's a whole different set of korbanos that you bring on Yom Kippur for Mechilas HaOven, for Kapara. So the Kohen Gadol did everything. So the Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in Hilchas Avodas Yom Kippurim quotes a Safik from the Ritva. He rarely quotes the Ritva. He quotes the Ritva on Yuma as a suffix. All the avodas have to be done by the Kohen Gadol. It only says the Tamid shall Tamid also. Tamid is the same every day of the year. So on Yom Kippur, the Tamid has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Maybe that's only by the Rabban and the Musafim also. In Parshas Pinchas, it doesn't say you need a Kohen Gadol for the Musafim. It says in Achrei Mais, you need a Kohen Gadol for the special karbanas that are from Mechilas HaOven. So the Ritva is Mesupik. Maybe the Tamidim for sure don't need a Kohen Gadol Man HaTor. Maybe that's only by the Rabbanan. Maybe even the Musafim don't need a Kohen Gadol. But Lamaisa, the Mishnah says he did everything except for the 4 payasas that the Kohenim had Yotim would do. How many karbanas are there on Yom Kippur? So that's a big machlekes HaTanoim. Are there 15 or 16? So if you add it up, it's not such high mathematics. Just plain arithmetic. You add the 2 Tamash HaShach and Tamash HaBein HaBayim, and then you have the Musafim, and then you have the Karbonis from Mechilas HaOvayim. The Machlekes HaTam, so how could there be a Machlekes? So the answer is, by the Musafim, in Parshas Pinchas, it says that you bring Ayala Oila. In the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mois, for the Karbonis that you bring for the Mechilas HaOvayim, one of them is an Ayala Oila. So we pass on the halacha, ayal hama kanhu hama b'chum shapkudim. The ayal that's mentioned in Achrei Mois is the same ayal that's mentioned in Pinchas. So why is it written twice? Pilei plain, why is it written twice if it's really only one and the same ayal? It's a pele. We pass on only 15 musafim. 15, sachakol, 15 karbonas on Yom Kippur. The 2 kvasim, Tamash HaShach, Tamash HaBein HaBayim, and the Musafim, and the Karbanos from Mechilas HaOven. But if you would have assumed, like the other sheet, that the 2 different Elim, then there would have been 16 Karbanos. So the Rambam Paschal, that is only 15. They're not 16 Karbanos. The Kohen Gadol all year long wears Shmoneh Begadim. And included in the Shmoneh Begadim is the tzitz that was pure gold. On Yom Kippur, he wears the Shmoneh Begadim when he does the Avodah, the Tamid Shashacha, Tamid Shabbein Abayim. That's not Yom Kippur, Dick. When he brings the Musafim, also, it says that he wears Dala Begadim, Big Day Lovan on Yom Kippur. When he brings the Karbonos for Kapara, then he wears the Big Day Lovan. But he wears Big Day Sov when he brings the Tamid Shashacha, Tamid Shabbein Abayim, when he brings the Musafim. So if you read the Chumash, it would appear that the Avodah was done in 3 units. First, the Kohen Gadol puts on Big Day Zohar, and he does some of the Avodah, then he does Avodah Big Day Lovan for the Kapara, and then he does the 3rd unit, his Big Day Zohar. So the Gemara says that we don't follow the Chumash. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Gemara. All the psukim are in order except for Oitzos Kafa Machta, because the Halacha of Moshe Messina says that the Avodah should be divided into five units. Big Day Zohar, Big Day Love, Big Day Zohar, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zohar. But in the Chumash it doesn't say like that. So Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion. He said that the Gemara said, the Mishnah says in the end of Maseches Tainis, that's when they made shiduchim. The single girls would dance in the meadows, and the boys would see good-looking girls, and they would talk about marrying them. They make shiduchim on Chamishah Sabav and on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says those were the two jolliest days in the calendar. Why is Yom Kippur such a happy day? What special simcha? So the Gemara says because Yom Shenitam Batar, Moshe Rabbeinu came with them with the Luchos Shniyos on Yom Kippur. So the Mefarshim raised a question. Rabbi Vilna has this in his Sefer, Binyan Shlomo, and the Beis Halevi has it in his Sefer also. They raise a question, why do you need two holidays in the course of the year, both for Kabbalah and Torah? Shavuos is Mamad Taraseinu, and Yom Kippur is also celebrating Zman Kabbalah and Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu came now with the Luchos Shniyos. So they explained that the original plan was that everything was going to be Torah Shebichzav. There wasn't going to be any need for any Torah Shebalpeh. And the Beis HaLevi shows from many Midrashim and passages in the Zohar that the Luchos Rishonos had Kol HaTorah Kula written on. Everything was engraved and there wouldn't have been any need for Torah Shebalpeh. But after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to punish Bnei Yisrael because they sinned. So part of the punishment was that the Ummah Yisrael would have a shlita over the Jews. If not for the fact that we sinned with the Chet HaEgel, the Ummah Yisrael would never have had any shlita on us. That's how the matter. Now that they have a shlita, so the Baruch Shalom is a concern. There's a pasuk in Navi, Echtav lo rubei toirasi halo kamozai nechshav avonon gittin is here. It's a Gemara gittin later around Av Samach. And Tosfos on Amud Beis there quotes the Medrash on that pasuk. Echtav There's a machlokes Rabbi Yechon and a Rebbe Loza. Loza was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon. Yechon was the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the last generation of Tanaim. Rabbi Yechon was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Yechon was all the first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Loza was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechon. So it's a machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Rebbe Loza. Which is the majority? Which is the Roiv? Is the Roiv Torah Shebichzav or the Roiv is Torah Shebalpeh? It's a very strange machlokes. We'll have to talk about it some other time. Look in any library. And the Torah Shebichzav, the only 24 svar, Chav Dalek Kisvekar. Torah Shebalpeh is thousands of svar. How can it be a machlok? So that's a major issue that the Prima Gaudim discussed. Prima Gaudim has a long essay about this. And his Psicha Kolelis Torah Chaim, he wrote a general introduction to all of Torah Shebalpeh that he calls it Psicha, the general introduction to Torah Chaim. So that's the topic that he begins with, and he has quite a few pages on that topic. So the Taisus quotes the Medrash on that pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if I will write a roiv of the Torah, will be originally Kol HaTorah Kula was going to be Bichsav, the original plan was. Then the Rebbe Shalom realized that he has to have a Torah Shebalpeh, so the Jewish people should have something to make them unique. Because now that the Goyim have Shlita over the Jewish people, so they have Shlita over the Torah also. So the Christians claim, the Catholics have been claiming for centuries that they are the Amman Ivchar, that the Jews lost their status as Amman Ivcha because we rejected Oso Huish, we didn't accept him. And they're the real Amman Ivcha. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Echtav lo rubei toirasi, if I'll write Rav Torah, it will be Biksav. Alokam azaynach show. So then Jewish people will be like outsiders. The Christians will claim that they are the Amman Ivcha, which they have been claiming for a long time. So that's why the Rebbe Shalom changed the plan after the Chet HaEgel. He decided there's going to have to be a Torah Shebalpeh. And the Torah Shebalpeh is only for the Jewish people. It goes on the Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichzav, Yeshua ben Nun was instructed to write the whole Torah on the stones when they cross over the Arden, and to write it by Heitev, Meshivim Loshen, so the Torah Shebichzav is open for the Ummah Yisraelim to read it. But the Torah Shebalpeh is supposed to be only for the Jewish people, not supposed to share it with the Ummah Yisraelim. So the Rashi writes, Rashi on that pasuk by Hatzos Kafa Machta on Yom Kippur, Rashi writes, he quotes a Gemara. all the psukim are in order except for this pasuk, because the Torah Shabbat Peh says that the avodah is supposed to be done in Yom Kippur 5 years. How come it's written out of order? That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said, to show you that if you're going to follow, if you won't follow Torah Shabbat Peh, you won't be yotzei the mitzvah properly. Yom Kippur is the yontif of celebrating Kabbalah's Torah Shabbat Peh. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luch HaShnitz that only had Aseres Adiris, didn't have Kol HaTorah Kula written on it. So that's why the Pasuk is written out of order, to demonstrate that if you don't follow Torah Shabbat Peh, you'll be bringing the Karbonis in an improper fashion. Adav HaSoloveitchik has a suggestion, a chiddush. He thinks that if you follow the way it says in the Chumash, you'll be yotzei the Karbonis. Just you won't be yotzei fully. You won't be yotzei that Torah Shabbat Peh requires that the Kohen Gadol should be tovel 5 times on Yom Kippur, and he should do Kiddush L'Ayin Raglayim 10 times. Whenever you put on or take off Big Dekuna, you have to do Kiddush L'Ayin Raglayim. Why did Kohen Gadol have to go to Mikvah 5 times on Yom Kippur? Because the Gemara learns that from a Pasuk. If the Kohen all year long will be makor karbonis in the Beis HaMikdash and he's not wearing the correct number of begodim, even mechusa begodim, amyuta begodim, so the avodah will be possible. Gemara learns that from a pasuk, because banshi bigdeim aleim kunosam aleim, ein bigdeim aleim ein kunosam aleim. What do you mean? A Kohen is not wearing big dekuna, is allowed to be matame lemesim, is allowed to marry a grusha? Not allowed to. So what it means, so the Mevorshim explained, means that there are 2 levels of Kedushas Kuna. There's Kedushas Kuna Sheh Begvulin, and Kedushas Kuna Sheh Bamigdash. Kedushas Kuna Sheh Bamigdash, there's only this bunch of Begdei Malayim. So when the Kohen Gadol, when any Kohen comes to the Beis HaMikdash, he wants to put on Begdei Kuna, he has to go to Mikvah first, like a Ger HaBolah his Gayer. He's going to get Kedushas Yisrael. The Nochri doesn't have Kedushas Yisrael. When he wants to convert, he'll be added onto him Kedushas Yisrael. So then he has to be Tovel and a Mikvah. There are 3 dinim of Tefillah and a Mikvah. There's a din if Adam Mikalim is Tami. There are 4 things that have a Kabbal Tumah. Adam Mikalim, Ochel, and Mashkin. The Adam Mikalim have Tefillah and a Mikvah. Not all Kalim, Klicheris, have no Tefillah and a Mikvah. But the Adam and normal Kalim have Tefillah and a Mikvah. And Ochel and Mashkin do not have Tefillah and a Mikvah. So that's a din that Tefillah B'mikvah removes Tumah by Adam Mekam. Then there's another din that if a woman is a Nida and she's Asur L'Bailam, when she goes to Mikvah, she's Materis L'Bailam. So that's a big question. Is the Issa L'Bailam is a function of the Tumah V'Tara? So the woman goes to Mikvah to remove the Tumah, so in Vela she's Materis L'Bailam. Well, it's not necessarily totally Zabizet. So Rabbi Chana Vassaman has a long essay in a Sefer on Yevamos, Kovitz HaOrvis on Yevamos, where he shows many Rishonim hold beferish, a woman could be a nida lebaila, and she won't be an avatuma. She could be an avatuma, she'll be a materis lebaila. You have quirky cases. We only have one without the other. That shows that they're unrelated to each other. So the tefillah and the mikveh normally takes off tuma on Adam and Kalim, but by a nida, it makes a materis lebaila. It makes a materis lebaila. And then there's a third din, that if you want to elevate the level of Kedusha, when a Nochri wants to convert, he has to be Tovel and a Mikvah. Or let's say when they chose the Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi had to be Tovel and a Mikvah when Kohanim were chosen. So they had to, the first time when the Kohanim were chosen, Bechivas Kohanim, they had to be Tovel and a Mikvah in order to be endowed with Kedusha's Kohanim. So here, whenever a Kohen wants to put on Big Day Kohanim, he's going to be endowed with a deeper degree of Kedusha. So that's why you have to go to mikvah. So Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur goes to mikvah 5 times because he puts on the big days off, then he takes them off. Then he puts on big day love, and then he takes each time he puts on big day kuna, he has to go to the mikvah again, because when he's going to put on the next big day kuna, he's going to be endowed with a higher level of kedusha than he has now. So that's what Rav the Soloveitchik thinks, that if you do the avodah the way it's described in the Chumash, in 3 units, Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav, you'll be Yotzeh B'Di'evet. You just won't be Yotzeh the Halacha L'Moshem Sina of Chomish Tvilos Vasar Kiddushin. He should rearrange it in such a way that it should be Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav, Big Day Love, and Big Day Zav at the end. and Shulchan Aruch also. And the second chelik yerodeh, they quote the dinim of tefilas kelim. If you buy clay suda from a non-Jew, if you buy a suit, you don't have to be, from a guy, you don't have to be toiled in the mikveh. But if you buy forks and knives and plates and glasses, then you need tefilas kelim. So the sefer Yisra the Heter by the Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi, there was Rabbeinu Yonah Sfardi, he was somebody else. But you have Rabbeinu Yonah Ashkenazi who wrote the sefer Yisra the Heter Ha'orach. It's quoted every single page in Yerodeh, Aleph Vav Hei, Yisra the Heter Ha'orach. It's a little sefer, the whole sefer, but it's quoted all the time. So he has a section on Tfilas Kelim. So he thinks that Tfilas Kelim means we're converting the Kelim. We're not allowed to eat with forks and knives and plates that are goyish. So if it belonged to a Nochri at one time and a Jew buys it, we have to mimigair it. So the way to mimigair it is be tovel and a mikvah. So that's when the Kohenim are about to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to put on big Dekunin. Big Dekunin are going to endow them with the deep of Kedushas Kehuna. So for that, they have to go to mikveh. So they're going to have to go to mikveh five times on Yom Kippur. It's going to put on big Dekunin five times. So our practice is that we only recite the Seder Avodah during Musa. We don't say it Shabbos and Shacharis and Mincha. Only during Musa. Yeah, many communities have in Europe used to have a minig that they would have a pause in between Musa and Mincha for a little over an hour. Why? Zecher l'Migdosh. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen Gadol would give over the Sor HaMishtalech to the Ishiti in the Azara. Ishiti has to come into the Azara, Kohen Gadol has to give it to him. Then the Ishiti has to run Shilachas Azara HaMidbara. He sends it to the Midbar. When he gives the Tchilas HaMidbar, then the Kohen Gadol when Higia Hastar Lamidbar, that took approximately the amount of time that it would take to walk 3 milin. That's how the Mishnah says. The Shiloh Hastar Lazazel, over the cliff, that was way further. That was much further. That took longer. That took 3 times as long. That was 10 mil away. The Ishiti goes way chutz l'trum. But 1 mil is Trum Shabbos, 1 mil is Atai Mama. So the Mishnah says when the Kohen Gadol would give the Ishiti the Sorei Meshtaleach, he would wait the amount of time. He can't leave the Azara until the Ishiti is Higia Lamidbar. Once the Ishiti has to go further to the Tzuk, but the Kohen Gadol doesn't have to wait for that. He only has to wait till Higia Lamidbar, and then he can leave the Azara and learn Kriyas HaTorah. So in some communities in Europe, they made a Zecher l'Migdash, so they would have a pause, a hapsaka of a little over an hour. A mil is approximately 22 and a half minutes. So if you multiply by three mil is a little over an hour. So a little over an hour. So there were communities like that. Agnon, who got a Nobel Award for his novels, in addition to the novels, he also wrote a book, Yomim No Ra'im. He has a likut of everything about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he quotes this minig. Everything he quotes there is from Svarim. So he quotes this minig. Zecher l'Migdash to have a hapsoke of a little over an hour, just like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. They used to do like that. On Shabbos, usually you say Ashrei before Mincha and Yom Kippur. You don't. You say Ashrei before Nehilah, and you learn Kriyas HaTorah before Mincha. So on Shabbos, Rabbi Blau was saying over a beautiful, he said over every year, Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shavuot, he always says over beautifully a shiur from Rav Soloveitchik. So he said over part of this, but he didn't mention the name. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out when you learn Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Balkari has a different niggun. A very eerie niggun. It's not the regular trup. And the people who get an aliyah don't say the regular niggun either. They say, Baruch Hashem, Hamavayroch, Baruch Hashem Vayroch, Li'olam Va'ed. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. There are two minhagim, whether the Balkari lanes with the Rashish, with the Yom and the Arayim Diganigin, or he lanes with the regular truck, like all year long. So we should be consistent. If the Balkari is laning with the Hiri Nigin, so they want to get some aliyah, should say the Bracha with the Hiri Nigin. If the Balkari is laning normally, so the one against aliyah should say normally. So Rav Soloveitchik said over in the name of Rabbeinu Chagish. Rabbeinu Chagish was a dayan in Vilna. He learned by the Beis Halevi. And he wrote a Tshuva Sefer Marcheshes. He was older than Rav Chaim Moser, but he outlived Rav Chaim Moser. He delivered a hesped. Rav Chaim Moser passed away. So Rav Soloveitchik, when his parents moved to New York, his parents lived in Washington Heights because his father taught in the yeshiva. So when his parents moved to America and he wanted to talk and learning with someone, so he would travel to Vilna to talk to Rav Chaim Moser and learning. All the yeshiva guys, they would all talk to Rav Chaim Moser. He was a major poysik, but he knew how to talk yeshivish at Torah. He knew everybody's Torah. If he knew the Polish at Torah, the Galatziana Torah, he knew all the Tshuva Svarim, he knew everything. So he would talk and learning. So sometimes Rav Soloveitchik would talk and learning to Rav Hanachegis, who was there also. So he said this, he heard from Hanachegis, that there's a machlokes in the Rishonim, and a Shulchan Aruch, a machlokes in the Chabad and the Ramah. When you get maftir on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, and you say the bracha of an haftarah, where do you end off? So the Ramos says you end off Magen David, like on a tiny Sibur. And the Mechaber says, no, you end off Ala Torah, Ala Avodah, Ala Yom HaKippurim Hazeh, and you have a whole long bracha at the end. Melech Melech V'Selach, Labanez, Labanezah, 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 a whole long bracha for the haftarah. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, when do you have a Kriya Satara by Mincha and on a tiny Sibur? When else do you have Kriya Satara by Mincha? Shabbos afternoon. On a tiny Sibur you say a Haftarah. And on Shabbos afternoon we don't say, we have Kriya Satara, but we don't have any Haftarah. And the days of the Gemara, they did have Haftarah on Shabbos afternoon. It's a Gemara in Bama Mabikin. The Gemara said beferish that they had a Haftarah on Shabbos afternoon. The Mishnah Megillah says, "Eim Aftirim Ben Avi." The Gemara says, the Mishnah Megillah says that you learn Kriyas HaTorah Shabbos afternoon to Mincha, but you don't give Haftorah Min Avi. So Rabbi Tam says, "Yeah, that's right. There's a Haftorah from Ksuvim, not from Navi." The Gemara says there is Haftorah from Tehillim. What is that all about? How come all year long Haftorahs from Navi, and all of a sudden every Shabbos afternoon, have Torahs from Ksuvim? So Rav Soloveitchik said the name of his mother. He said that the Tanoim made an Iser Kriyas Ksuvim on Shabbos. You're not allowed to learn Ksuvim because it has a lot of sections of Ksuvim that are very fascinating. It's like reading a novel. So the people used to work all week long, and the rabbi gave a shir on Shabbos afternoon. He wanted everybody to attend the shir. He's staying over the dinim. So if you're going to start reading novels on Shabbos, you're going to start reading Ksuvim, you're going to get so engrossed in that, you may forget about going to the Shia. So they made a prohibition. They said, you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos. That's why some explain, why is it in the benching, how come you say, all week long you say, Magdal Lishos Malka, and on Shabbos you say, Migdal Lishos Malka, because Pasuk appears twice. It appears in Shiraz David. It appears in Sefer Shmuel, and it appears in Divayam. So in Sefer Shmuel it says Magdil Yishuas Malkai, and on Shabbos, no, which way is it? In Tehillim it says Magdil. So on Shabbos you're not allowed to read Ksuvim, so that's why you don't say Magdil. He said, Migdol. Migdol is a nusach that says in the Navi. That's what the Mefarshim say. That's why you say Migdol as opposed to Magdil on Shabbos afternoon. So when Rav Soloveitchik said that every community in Europe used to have a Chevret Tehillim, used to recite Tehillim every day after Shacharis, they would say Tehillim for a half an hour. Every day, some would divide Tehillim in the course of a week, some would divide in the course of the month. they would say either for 5-10 minutes or for 25 minutes they would say Tehillim. And on Shabbos, the Chevra Tehillim would say Tehillim before Shacharis. So instead of saying after Musaf, let's say before Shacharis. Why? So he suggested, part of it was from his mother, part of it was not from his father, I don't know. He said, because Tehillim is Ksuvim, and you're not allowed to learn Ksuvim on Shabbos. So when does this Issa begin, Kriyas Ksuvim? So the suggestion was, it begins with Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. Then it ends with Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha. So to demonstrate that it ended by Kriyas HaTorah by Mincha, they say the Haftarah from Ksuvim, as opposed to HaTorah. Every other time that they say Haftarah, you say from Levim. Only Shabbos afternoon, you say from Ksuvim, to demonstrate that the Issa of Kriyas Ksuvim is over, because the Drosha Sachachm used to be before Mincha. It wasn't after Mincha. And he thought that maybe the Issa Kriyas Ksuvim begins with Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. So that's why the Chevet Tilim, who would say Tilim every day after Shachris, wouldn't say the Tilim on Shabbos after Shachris, after Musaf, because then it's an Issa Kriyas Ksuvim. So that's why they would say the Tilim either before Shachris on Shabbos or after Mincha. That's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested. On Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach and on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, we lain the Megillahs. You lain Megillah Shir Hashirim, and you lain Megillahs Koheles. So we usually lain the Megillah before Kriyas HaTorah. Why don't you first lain Kriyas HaTorah? Torah B'Sheni Torah, Torah Kodem. The Kriyas HaTorah is every week. The Megillah is once a year you lain this. A couple of times a year you lain Megillahs. Why shouldn't you learn Kriyas HaTorah first and only afterwards learn the Megillah? So he thought this is the reason why, because after you're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, then it's Chal D'Yisa Kriyas Ksuvim. So then you won't be allowed to learn the Megillah. So you have to learn it before Kriyas HaTorah. So the Shaila was, the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur afternoon, is that because on Yom Tov afternoon there is no Kriyas HaTorah? Only on a tiny Siba you're laying Kriyas HaTorah with the Haftarah and on Shabbos afternoon. So why do we lay Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur to Mincha and you have a Haftarah? Is it because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos? Or is it because Yom Kippur is a tiny Siba? So he said, L'mayin afkemina. So he said, if it's the Kriyas HaTorah of a tiny Siba, then you end off the Bracha Magen David. You don't say the Bracha HaTorah Bal Avoida. It's not because it's Yom Kippur that you're learning, is because it's like a Shabbos. But if it's because Yom Kippur is like Shabbos, the Kedushas Hayom is higher than Yom Tov, is like Shabbos, so it's because today's Yom Kippur, that's why. So then you should end off the Kaddishes of Yom Kippurim. You should so that's a machlokes and mechaber the Ramah in the Rishonim and the Mordechai. There are two opinions about the different minhagim. Rav Soloveitchik thought that all of this is interconnected. He said, according to the minhag of the Ramah, that you end off Magen David, it means it's a Kriyas HaTorah like Anatina Sibur, and you shouldn't lain in the eerie Nigan, and the Bracha should be recited in the regular Nusach. And those who have the practice like the Mechaber, to end off, I think the Gro holds like that, that you should end off the Kaddish Zol Yom Kippurim. He thinks that you should follow the Mechaber's sheet. So he said, if that's the practice, they're gonna do like the Mechaber, then it's a Yom Kippur Dikaleinen. So then it should be with the Eri Nigan. So this is what the Marcheshes says. Rav Soloveitchik said this over in the name of the Marcheshes. He has it in his Sefer, and he has it, this comment on a Shaila Rabbi Kevega has. Rabbi Kevega has a shaila. A person is not feeling well, and the doctor says he must eat on Yom Kippur, but he's not wearing shoes, and he's not doing the other things. He's observing all the other inuim, and not doing b'chitza, sicha, tashma, mita, all the other things that he's observing. Achidushti, he has no choice. So can he get an aliyah? So Rabbi Kevega says, in Shachris, for sure he can get an aliyah, because the Kriyas HaTorah Shachris is for the people who are observing Yom Kippur. He is observing. He's a choyla, so he's allowed, doctor says he has to eat, so he's allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. But he's observing the other dinam of Yom Kippur. So Shachris, Rabbi Kevega says he may get an aliyah, but Rabbi Kevega only has a suffix by mincha. He doesn't explain what the suffix is. So that's what the Marcheshes explains. Rashi says that it depends on this machlokes in the Mechaber and the Rama, whether the Kriyas HaTorah is b'Torahs Tainas Sibur. So we are practices, whoever's not fasting on a Tainas Sibur doesn't get an Aliyah. Or should you say, no, it's not b'Torahs Tainas Sibur, it's b'Torahs Shabbos. Like Shabbos, you learn to Mincha and you have a Haf Torah. The Yom Kippur is like Shabbos. So then he's observing Yom Kippur to the extent that he's obligated to it. Then he should be allowed to get an Aliyah. A couple of years ago, the Shaila came up here in New York. There was a boy who was going to be bar mitzvah on a tainis. So we're going to give him an aliyah. He was studying in Ramaz. But the kid had some kind of medical condition, so he wasn't allowed to fast. I don't know if he fasted on Yom Kippur, but the other tanesim for sure. Chol HaShem V'Sakon is permitted to eat, even on Tisha B'Av. Chol HaShem V'Sakon is permitted to eat. Somebody printed over some of the shiurim that Rav Soloveitchik said on Tisha B'Av, on the Kinnis. So they printed things that are not correct there. Maybe Rav Soloveitchik said it, but he passed away already by the time they were printing it. So they should have shown it to someone who knows. So they printed the name of Rav Soloveitchik that Tisha B'Av is like Yom Kippur, only Chodesh Eshbos HaKon is permitted to eat. That's wrong. The din is not so. Chodesh Eshbos HaKon, said before, Chodesh Eshbos HaKon is permitted to eat. The Taz wants to say not so, and we don't accept the Taz. Taz made a mistake. The Rabbi Nezer has a tshuva, and he says it's said beferish in the Rishonim that the Chol Hashem Sakana is permitted to eat on any tainus the Rabbanon. Tisha B'Av is not the Reis; it's only by the Rabbanon. If Tisha B'Av Shavas B'Tamis, if it would be Medibri Kabbalah, then the Rabbi Netanya has a tshuva that then only a Chol Hashem Medibri Kabbalah could be Torah Damya, and then only a Chol Hashem Sakana would be allowed to eat. But Tisha B'Av Zmanes is also Meikar Adin. It's not Mendiri Kabbal. Anyway, so that's the story that we lain by Mincha, and we don't say Allah Torah Allah Boide. You don't say we follow the Ramah. You don't say that. And then we dive in Ne'ilah. What is Ne'ilah all about? So the Yerushalmi explains. Ne'ilah is a tefillah that you dive in on a Tainas Sibur. It just happens that in Tainas Sibur Bava Chutz Mitisha Bava Yom Kippur. The only Tainas Sibur that we have that's eligible is Yom Kippur. But in principle, whenever there's a real bona fide time sick, you're supposed to daven Ne'ilah. What is the idea of Ne'ilah? So Yerushalmi learns that from Tzukim, from Torah, from Nevi'im, from Ksuvim, that if you pray HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you repeat the prayer several times, then you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. So that's what Ne'ilah is all about. Ribuy tefillah. So that Rav Soloveitchik said, name Rav Chaim. In America, you have it like this. People go to work all day long on Yom Kippur, and they come into Ne'ilah. So they just say Ne'ilah. So Rav Chaim said, Ne'ilah is supposed to be on top of Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha. Then you have an extra tefillah. You say Ne'ilah. But if all you say is Ne'ilah, then it's a bracha levatolah. Ne'ilah doesn't mean anything. Ne'ilah is a ribuy tefillah. In addition to all the other tefillahs that I offered, I have an additional tefillah. But if he didn't offer any other tefillahs, so there's no room to daven the ilah. Rav Soloveitchik was just misupik that you really have to have daven shachris, musav, and mincha? Or is it enough if he daven one of them? He's supposed to daven everything. But to make such a statement as a brocha levatolah, maybe as long as he daven one or two of the three, maybe one is enough that it's called ribitah. Maybe not. Maybe you have to have daven all the three, shachris, musav, and mincha. Then the ilah is a ribuy tefillah. Rav Soloveitchik used to give, he liked Rav Chaim as mashal. The guy comes into shul in America, that's very common. People go to work all day, then they come into shul to Ne'ilah. That's all. They just say Ne'ilah.
How do we apply that for us, Levisa? Someone is sick and they can't go to shachris, so they miss musaf or whatever it is.
So when we're davening Ne'ilah, let them say mincha. Let him say, but it's going to be the same text of the Shemana Esrei, but he should have in mind that this is L'shem Mincha, not L'shem Ne'ilah.
What if he makes it to Mincha and he davens Mincha with the Tzibur?
Yeah.
And then
Can he daven a second time? So that's why Rav Soloveitchik was mesupik, whether you need all three, Shachris, Musaf, and Mincha, and then you have a right to daven Ila, as long as it's in addition to some other tefillah before. Maybe you don't need all three. Maybe it's called the Rebbe tefillah, as long as he said one of the three Shmanas. He wasn't sure. So similar to what Rav Chaim said, that if a person is going to just come to Nila, say Nila, that has no value. Nila has to be in addition to the regular tefillahs. Rav Soloveitchik suggested about slichas. The slichas that we say this season of the year. When you have the Taneisim, Shavasa B'Tamuz, and some Gedalia, so you say slichas, the meaning of the Baal HaTosfos would be, they would say slichas in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. We don't have that practice anymore. In Broyers they do. Broyers they still have. They carry on the old Minhagim in the days of the Baal HaTosfos. In the middle of Chazaras HaShatz, Ruchan says, Slachlam Rabbein Kechadam Chalam Arkeni Kefashanu, then they start saying slichas for 20 minutes in the middle of Chazaras HaShatz. Then after they finish the slichas, then the chazan finishes slachlam. He finishes the bracha and he finishes the Chazaras HaShatz. The rest of the world, we don't say the slichas in the middle. We say the slichas after the Chazaras HaShatz of Shachris. But at this season of the year, we say the slichas before the davening. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Hamascha b'mitzvah omim lo gemor. Whoever daven slichas has the right, if he wants to, has the right to insist that he wants to be the shliach tzibur for mincha that day also. He wants to daven Shachris. And he wants to daven mincha also. So, the Mefarshim raised a question. We never heard of such a din. Whoever was the Baal Tefillah for Shachris on Shabbos, or Rosh Chodesh, or Yontif, has the right to daven Musaf and Mincha on the same day. What does one Tefillah have to do with the other? Maschem Mitzvah, Amar Lo Gemar. He'll finish Shachris. Why should he have the right to daven for an Amid Musaf and Mincha also? It's a different tefillah. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that Slichas, this season of the year, is supposed to be the introduction to the davening. He's supposed to daven Shachris every day, Mincha, and Slichas is supposed to be before the davening. So he gave the same moshel that Rav Chaim said, let's say a person will daven Slichas, he'll join Slichas, and then the rest of the day he won't daven anything. Doesn't feel well, whatever. He won't daven Shachris and Mincha. So the slichas was arayz gevarfim. There's no kiyum. Slichas must be the hakdama to the tefillas ayom. So that's why whoever daven slichas, he said the hakdama. Amar lo gemar, let him be the baal tefillah for shachris and mincha as well. But just because a person daven shachris, you don't say gemar, he should be the baal tefillah for musaf and for mincha also. Musaf has nothing to do with shachris, and mincha has nothing to do with shachris. But slichas is the hakdama to all the tefillas ayom. That was the suggestion. The Tanaim have a machlokes whether Yom Kippur is only mechaper l'shovim, or it's even mechaper l'sheinam shovim. It's only mechaper if the person does tshuva, or even without. In the days of the Goinim, the many Goinim were of the opinion that Yom Kippur, that we should adopt that position. Yom Kippur is even mechaper l'sheinam shovim, even if you didn't do tshuva. But in the days later, in the days of the Rambam, the other Rishonim didn't write. The Rambam writes halacha l'maaseh. Yom Kippur is only mechaper if the person does tshuva. And the Rambam makes a big point of it in Perek Aleph in Hilchos Tshuva. He says when you bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash, sometimes you did the aver b'shogeg, sometimes even if you did the aver b'mezid, so you have to say vidui. When they give you malchus, you have to say vidui if you want to get a kapar. When they give you the death penalty, the person has to say vidui before. So the Rambam says, and on Yom Kippur, if you want Yom Kippur to be mechaper, you have to say vidui. We assume that there's no kapara without the tshuva. No such thing. The Mincha Saluza was the main mikacher. He was the main antagonist. He was the main opposition against the secular Zionists. He was always cursing the Zionists from the pulpit in public. And he would curse the secular Zionists, and he would say the Mizrahi is worse than the secular Zionists because they made a mitzvah out of it. Zionism is the biggest avera. And the Mizrahi made a mitzvah out of the biggest avera. And the Aguda is worse than the Mizrahi because they claim that they're anti-Medina and they're not. Therefore, they're also Zionists. And we never sinned. He said, we never did anything wrong. We don't have to do tshuva. And the seculars are never going to do tshuva. They're all gone. So he has such a comment. The pasuk says at the end of Shiras Hazinu, the last pasuk says, V'chipa ad masai amoi. So the pasuk shot in the pasuk is, it says there'll be a holocaust, and people will be wondering, where was God? Where was the God of the Jewish people when all of this was happening? And that's what they were saying to the Jews. They were getting a lot of Jews to give up the Jewish religion. The Christian missionaries were convincing a lot of Jews that our religion is not true. Where is God if you're the Aman Ivcha? How come he allows all this to happen? That's what the Torah says, this will happen. And then it says, and after the whole Holocaust will be over, the Chipe Ad Masai Amak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land. Eretz Yisrael will have a Tchias HaMeisim after the Holocaust, 1948, Hakam Samadina. And God will appease his nation. The Jewish people, they're on top of the world now. They're making more money than the Goyim, and they're high-tech, and all industry. The Jews are in control of everything in the world. The Jews have all the money, and they're on top of everything. That's V'chiper Ad Masayam. So that's Pshuto Shal Mikra. It's a hemshach from the story of the Holocaust that Moshe Rabbeinu said in Nevuah. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. V'chiper Ad Masayam. If a Jew walks Dalan Amos in Eretz Yisrael, he gets Mechilas Avoinus. And if a Jew was never Zechet to come to Eretz Yisrael during his lifetime, but he's buried in Eretz Yisrael, also gets Mechilas Avoinus. If the person moves to Eretz Yisrael while he's alive, it's a deeper degree of Kapora, of Mechilas Avoinus. But even if he's only buried in Eretz Yisrael, the Chipa Masam. So that's what the Minkacher, who was always cursing the Zionists, so he said about the secular, what do they think? They're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to walk the Alam, they're going to get a Mechilas Avoinas. You never get any Mechilas Avoinas without Tshuva. Like the Raman Paskins, that Yom Kippur is only Mechaper for us in Tshuva, and he says Malkus and Misa and Korbanos, you always need Tshuva. So he says, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to get a Mechilas Avoinas only if you do Tshuva. You don't know tshuva, then no mechila. I think he quotes that from the Pnei Yeshua. I think he quotes the Pnei Yeshua says that. I never looked it up. I think the Pnei Yeshua, the end of Ksuva, says like that. Chipa Ad Masa Amar, it's only mechaper if the person does tshuva. After Yom Kippur is over, then we say Shemus. We say Shema Yisrael. We say Baruch Shem Kvam Chus Le'avar Hashem Hu Alekim. So some of the Gedolim pointed out that it's not really, there's a mitzvah Kriya Shema, it's already Tzeisel Kohom, it's already this mantra Kriya Shema. So if you say Pasuk Rishon, Vayisol Hashem Echad, according to the Ramban, you're ready, it's a Kriya Shema Deraisa. Everything else is only Midrabban. There are different opinions. Rashi's opinion is that the Parsha Rishon is Deraisa, Tzeisel Shema Bar Yom Shema, both are Deraisa, but the Ramban holds only Pasuk Rishon. So it's not really proper to recite Kriya Shema without the Birchas Kriya Shema. You should recite Kriya Shema in the Mizgeret of the Brachas. So we're not going to say Brachas when you say Shemus at the end of the meal. We're not going to say the Birchas Kriya Shema until afterwards. You're going to say Ma'ariv. So when you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you should have in mind Kavana Shelo Lotzeis. Because it's not really proper to recite the Kriya Shema without the brachas, kach tiknach achon. The Gemara has a machlokes, different opinions in the Gemara regarding the ilah. The ilah is a tefillah satinus. What makes it into tefillah satinus? So one opinion, you can even begin the ilah balaylo, if the tzeisa kohon. That we don't follow that opinion. But there are two opinions in the Gemara, whether it's enough if you begin the ilah bayom, even though you're going to finish balaylo, or you have to finish the ilah before the shkia. So our practice here is that we as long as you begin by Yom. So in Shulchan Aruch there's a machlekes, what if a person is eating on Purim, Sudas Purim, and then he finishes on Matzoi Purim? A person's eating on Rosh Chodesh, and he finishes Matzoi Rosh Chodesh. Does he say Ala Nisim? Does he say Ala B'Yom? So it's a machlekes, and we paskin that you do say Ala Nisim. So the Vilna Gaon says, what's the mocker? The mocker is over here. that is called Tfilas HaTainis, even though you only began on the Tainis, if you began the Hilah on the Tainis, that's enough. So too it's called Suda Shabbos, or it's called Sudas Purim, or Sudas Rosh Chodesh, as long as you begin on Purim, even though you're going to finish after. But it's still a machlekes, so one should always try to avoid getting involved in the machlekes. There is a machlekes, there was a big machlekes, where the Yeduchen by Ne'ilah. So the Maharil writes that most communities in Europe, they didn't duchen by Ne'ilah, because the only duchen at the conclusion of the Chazaras HaShatz is deep into the nighttime already. And the Gemara says that duchening is hukash. Duchening is compared to Avodas HaKarbonos, and there's no Avodas HaKarbonos Balayla, so that's why you shouldn't duchen Balayla. And then he writes that in Frankfurt, the meaning was that they would duchen, they still duchen over here. In the middle of the night, when they get to the end of Chazor Sashatz and Nila, they duchen three times on Yom Kippur. They duchen by Shachrins and by Musaf and by Ne'ila. Duchen three times on Yom Kippur. In the Ila, we have a tefillah to after the whole Shemoneh Esrei, the tefillah balach is over. We mention Hakadosh Baruch Hu should give us the power leman nechta me'oshek yodena. We should stop stealing. Everybody's stealing. Some people cheat on income tax. That's stealing. It's stealing from everybody else because you don't pay tax. That's everybody else's taxes are higher. But some people are honest. They don't steal. So everybody says, So Rav Soloveitchik suggested pshat that we say, our body belongs to God. And God only gives us permission. He gives us permission to use the body to do things that are mutter. So if we do averus, we're stealing from God. So that's what, when we're saying vidui, we're saying, help us stop stealing. We're stealing the use of Shol Shalamidas. If you use someone else's property without permission, that's an act of gzeil. I apologize about the change in time today. I didn't realize yesterday that I had to go somewhere. So everyone should have a Machzim Atayv Agut Yor.